You are Locked On MLB, your daily MLB podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, baseball fans. Welcome to Locked On MLB, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. This is the daily podcast. We talk about all of Major League Baseball. And I'm your host, TV producer and comedian, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully. This episode is dropping on the 16th day of October 2019, and we'll be reviewing the third game of the American League Championship Series and the fourth game of the National League Championship Series. This show is brought to you in part by Vivid Seats and is available on the free and easy-to-use Himalaya podcasting app. We're also available on Player FM, Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, any place you get your podcast. Guess what? We will be there. Check our website out if you want to listen to us directly. That's Locked On MLB. When you get in your car, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On MLB or check out some of the other great shows on the Locked On Podcast Network, including Locked On Fantasy Football. Hey, you want to win your league, don't you? You want to brag when you go to work? Well, check out Locked On Fantasy Football and get all the edge that you need. You can check us out on Twitter and Instagram at Locked On MLB. I'm at Sully Baseball on Twitter and Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. Let me pull back the curtain a little bit here. I am recording this before the start of Game 4 of the National League Championship Series. I don't know. I don't know if the Nats have clinched. I don't know what's going to happen. You know, I don't. The game in Washington has just begun, and it's no score going into the bottom of the first. So that's probably going to be the focus on all of our baseball attention going on. So I want to focus on the early game, which the Astros defeated the Yankees 4-1. Now, this is a game that should really frustrate the Yankees, really, big time. They could have beaten Verlander. Whenever you lose a game in extra innings, by definition, you had a shot to win it. But this was a winnable game against Cole. Now, casually glance, he pitched 7 shutout innings, striking out 7 along the way, letting up only 4 hits. There you go. And, you know, you just throw it on the fire of his third straight terrific postseason start. And he earned a Who Owned October and everything like that, and he's making the case for being the dominant force of this postseason. But if you followed the game, it was actually a pretty rickety Gerrit Cole. Now, by definition, anyone who throws 7 shutout innings is not having a rickety game. By definition, anyone who finishes the game with back-to-back 1-2-3 innings, you're not throwing a rickety game. But he threw 112 pitches. The Yankees were going deep into counts. And, along with the 4 hits, were 5 walks. I don't think he let up more than 3 walks in any start this year. And he got 5. Throughout the game, the Yankees loaded the bases, got 2 on, were pressuring Gerrit Cole. And you got to think eventually, even Sinatra clears his throat. The single greatest postseason I've ever seen pitched, and this is not hyperbole, nor is it hyperbole, the greatest postseason I've ever seen pitched was Madison Bumgarner in 2014, and let me tell you why. You know, what about Koufax? What about Gibson? First of all, in those series, they only pitched 2 or 3 games the entire postseason. Bumgarner had to pitch against 4 different opponents in that postseason, and he basically took the weakest Giants team of this Bruce Bochy run on his shoulders to the World Series title. But even in that postseason, he lost a game. I bet you forgot that. He lost a game in the division series. Now, he pitched well. He went 7 innings, but he just happened to let up 1 bad rally, and that was enough for the Nationals to win their only game in that postseason. So even in a situation like that, or like the next greatest postseason I've ever seen pitched was Oral Hershiser in 1988. And in that series, the Dodgers lost 2 of his starts. Now, those were bullpen games that he blew, that were blown. But that made no grammatical sense, but you understand what I'm saying. Even the 2 greatest postseasons I've ever seen pitched, Hershiser 88 and Bumgarner 2014. The teams lost games that they start because of just the sheer volume of games. So when I was seeing Cole struggle his way, I'm thinking, oh man, this is that one fluke bad start, or even merely good start. But this shows you why Cole is the best pitcher in the postseason right now. He didn't have his best stuff. They were saying that like crazy on the Yankee broadcast. And it constantly looked throughout the game that the Yankees were going to deliver a big blow. And if they could have won the Cole start, the entire complexion of this series has changed. Because then it's just totally the Yankees in charge. But now, it's Houston in charge. And Altuve had another terrific game. He hit a home run in the first, got two hits, and scored twice. Brantley had a fine game, getting on base three times. The Astros bullpen did the job. They let up one home run to Gleyber Torres. And man, what a terrific postseason Gleyber Torres is having. I mean, he is just turning into a legit star with the Yankees. And there is an interesting factor that's going to take over the American League Championship Series on the game being played today when you're listening to this. And that is nature. Rain. If the rains hit, and it's the forecast is supposed to be really bad rain in New York, and that's something I remember, especially when I lived in New York, when the Yankees were in the postseason all the time, there always seemed to be one big-ass rain out somewhere or another. And Game 1 of the World Series in 1996 was rained out. Game 3 of the ALCS up in Boston was rained out, and that meant there was no travel day between Games 5 and 6 of the ALCS. There was a rain delay in the 2003 ALCS. There always seems to be one big, huge-ass rain-delayed game in October in the Northeast. Remember how the monsoons hit in the 2008 World Series and pushed the ending of Game 5 a couple of days away. So if there is a big rain delay and the game is postponed, the Wednesday game is postponed to Thursday, suddenly you have what everyone earmarked as a bullpen game. Game 5 was going to be, if I'm not mistaken, a rematch of Tanaka versus Greinke. Now, I don't know what the Astros are doing. They're up 2-1 and they don't have to panic. But if I were the Yankees and I was planning on starting Tanaka on Thursday for Game 5, and Game 4 is pushed to Thursday, guess what? Masahiro, you've got the ball. He's the Yankees' ace right now. And if the Yankees can hand the ball to Masahiro Tanaka a game early, that could put the Yankees in a wonderful position. Now, if it's a bullpen game, bullpen matchup, I would lean towards the Yankees anyway. But with the fact that Greinke has looked shaky his two postseason starts, the idea of starting Tanaka to get a chance to tie the series up and then take on Greinke. Look, Zach Greinke is a wonderful pitcher. He's a former Cy Young Award winner. He nearly threw a no-hitter down the end. It could have been two fluke bad starts and he could dominate. Or he could be having a shaky postseason. And to be able to face someone who could potentially be having a shaky postseason and having your guy who is your can't-miss postseason starter pitching the day before, that could be the key for making it a 3-2 series. Because the Yankees have to push every button at this point because the way it's going, the Astros have lined up Verlander 6, Cole 7. That's deadly. Not impossible. Not impossible. Think about all the teams that beat Maddox, Smoltz, and Glavin in short series, or Mulder, Zito, and Hudson. But it's not what you want, and the only way you can really, really take that on is if you go back to Houston up 3-1. So if the rains come, I think it suddenly turns the tide slightly in the favor of the Yankees and their desire to push the series back to Houston and, you know, in their case, hopefully up 3-1. But either way, there's going to be a game in Houston. If you're a fan in Houston, guess what? Best case scenario is the next game in Houston, at least best case scenario for Astros fans, the next game in Houston will be game one of the World Series. Worst case scenario, it's game six of the ALCS. And either way, you should be falling over yourself to get in that stadium and cheer this wonderful team. And you, what I would use to do that? Vivid Seats. Now, what's Vivid Seats? That's easy for you to say. Vivid Seats, I will enunciate so I don't trip over the sponsor, is an online event ticket marketplace dedicated to providing fans of live entertainment with experiences that last a lifetime. If you're an Astros fan, this is something you should be drooling for. And with Vivid Seats, listeners can watch their favorite teams and artists perform in person, earning credit back on all purchases made through the Vivid Seats app via, guess what, the Vivid Seats Rewards Loyalty Program. Vivid Seats helps fans find their seats to any of their favorite live events, and that includes sports, concerts, theater, more, all through the Vivid Seats apps. Vivid Seats offers great prices and an easy purchasing experience, as well as an in-app loyalty program, Vivid Seats Rewards. And with reward statuses ranging from MVP to Hall of Famers, customers can earn from 10% up to 16% credit on all their purchases. So go to the App Store or Google Play or wherever you get your apps and download the Vivid Seats apps. Fans are automatically enrolled in the Vivid Seats Rewards Loyalty Program and will enjoy credits on all their purchases as part of the Vivid Seats Rewards. And all Vivid Seats confirmed orders are backed by a 100% guarantee. And enter the promo code POSTSEASON at checkout to receive a discount up to $100. So come on, Astros fans and all fans everywhere. Use Vivid Seats and get memories that last a lifetime. All right, I know my mom is listening to this, so Mom, just do me a favor and skip ahead a little bit. That'd be great. Thanks. All right, everybody else, let's talk about sex. Good, ready-to-go sex. Now, you can increase your performance and build up your confidence. Everyone but my mom, listen up. I'm talking about BlueChew.com. That's blue like the color blue. BlueChew brings the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra or Cialis, so you know they work. Take them anytime, day or night, on a full stomach, while stuck in traffic after a Dodger game. I don't judge. They're chewable, and they work twice as fast as the pill, so you know you'll be ready quicker than a manager can make a pitching change. Now, everyone I know has tested it, and I have many trustworthy friends who confide with me very personal details. They all tell me it gives them a little extra, and it works great. Now, we baseball fans, we know all about getting a little edge with performance enhancers. And this is just isn't for people who can't perform. This is for anyone who wants something a little extra. Look, Blue Chew is prescribed online, ships to your door, discreet package, no in-person doctor visit, no waiting in the pharmacy, no awkwardness. In fact, the only awkwardness involved in Blue Chew is knowing that my mom is probably still listening. Made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. Now, right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Go to BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use the special promo code MLB. Just pay $5 shipping. All of that just by going to BlueChew.com, promo code MLB. Once again, BlueChew.com, promo code MLB. Try it for free. BlueChew, the better, cheaper, and faster choice. Thank you for sponsoring the Locked On MLB podcast. All right, the National League Championship Series is now over. And one of the beautiful things that can happen in baseball happened tonight. And it's something I don't want to gloss over. It's that moment when you're watching something and you say, I'm seeing something I didn't think I was ever going to see. I had that with the Red Sox, obviously, when they won the World Series in 04, and actually even more so when they beat the Yankees in the ALCS. But I've seen it in the faces of fan bases like, well, my father with the San Francisco Giants. And guess what? There are other, you know, it's not all just traditional fan bases. You know, there are Angel fans when they finally won the World Series were thinking, I never thought I was ever going to see this.
there were people in, you know, I'm going to switch to another sport, but watch the reaction videos when you see Cleveland Cavaliers fans realizing that time is running out on the Warriors and the Cavs are going to win. And the expression on their face is, I'm seeing something that I've always wanted to see, but I wasn't sure if it was ever really going to happen. In that case, it was any Cleveland team winning a championship. You know, you saw with Astros fans in 2017, that moment of, wow, this is really happening. And, you know, the Cubs, obviously, in 2016 as well. There is a sense when you are a devoted fan to a team and to a sport that you go into every year thinking, I hope we win. And there's a part of you said, I really want them to win. And sometimes you picture it in your head. I specifically remember picturing in my head all those years before 04 where I'm like, oh, what if this happens? And what if Tom Gordon's on the mound when they win? Or what if Mo Vaughn hits the big home run or Nomar gets the big hit? What if it's Jim Rice? What if it's Rich Gedman? Which person's going to be the hero? Who's going to deliver it? And so often, it's someone you didn't think, someone you didn't expect. When the final chips fell in 2004 for the Red Sox, who was one of the great big heroes of it? Dave Roberts, a pinch runner who only played a handful of games with the Red Sox. When the Cubs finally won the World Series, who was the MVP? Was it Ernie Banks? Was it Ferguson Jenkins? Was it Andre Dawson? Was it Ryne Sandberg? No, it was Ben Zobrist, who they picked up from the Royals. And who was on the mound when they finally won the World Series? Mike Montgomery. So who are the Nationals heroes? Well, it's you had Hudson, who wasn't even with the team at the beginning of the year. It was Howie Kendrick. It was Anibal Sanchez. And look at, I don't think that Howie Kendrick was a bad choice as MVP, but part of me wants to give it to Anibal Sanchez because throwing that no-hitter deep into the eighth in a game where the Cardinals were thinking, all right, we got game one. We don't have to face Strasburg. We don't have to face Scherzer. We don't have to face Hudson. We have to face Sanchez. And they can't even use Hudson out of the bullpen. And the fact that Sanchez got the Cardinals back on their heels so badly, I think set the tone for the whole series. And I would make the argument, even though he only pitched in one game, that Anibal Sanchez was probably the MVP of the series. But I digress. Howie Kendrick had a wonderful series. And man, if you had told me when Howie Kendrick was thrown out in that terrible base running play in game three of the division series against Los Angeles, that he would wind up leading Washington to a World Series, I would doubt it. But it was something that, look at, I've gotten to know some Nationals fans, I've gotten to know Washington fans, and the idea that you're thinking, oh, I really want to see a World Series played in Washington, D.C., something that hasn't happened since 1933. But do you really think it's going to happen? Do you really think that? Seriously. And with all the years, was like, is it going to be this year, 2012? No. Is it going to be this year, 2014? Looks good. No. What about this year, 2016? Could it? No. What about 2017? Things are falling together. They're going to beat the Cubs. Nope. All those years were a bounce here or one strike in 2012 or a hit against Clayton Kershaw or someone not being tagged out at home plate. What was it? Lobaton was thrown out at first base on a pickoff throw. All those little things pieced together. And suddenly you have this team stampeding into the World Series. Did you want to see it, Nats fans? Sure. Were you hoping to see it? Yeah. Did you really think it was going to happen? No, probably not. And when you see something like that happen, and you see a narrative reversed, and you see something that, oh, everything always breaks this way for a team, and suddenly it breaks that, and oh, this cursed team suddenly is no longer cursed, and oh, this fan base that's been suffering. Can you imagine if you were a Senators fan in the early 70s having your team ripped away from you, and then having to wait decades before a team arrived? Man, that must be quite the feeling if you stuck around all this time. And now there is only one franchise that hasn't gone to the World Series, and that's the Seattle Mariners. And for the first time, I can phrase it easily like that, because in the past I've had to, well, phrase it carefully, like which current major league city has not hosted a World Series, and I would have to say Seattle, and then make the caveat that, well, the Nationals have never made it to the World Series, but the Senators did. Now it's simple. Only one team hasn't done it, and that's the Mariners. I give the Cardinals a little bit of credit. When they were losing 7-0 after one inning, I really thought this was the worst showing of a team in a four-game series I've ever seen in my life. And keep in mind, the Cardinals got swept by the Red Sox in 2004 in the World Series, and like in this series, they didn't have the lead once in any inning. But at least in that series, there was a back-and-forth game one, and there was a couple of hard-fought moments in that series. Up until the first inning, this was just a completely non-competitive series. I mean, the Cardinals, even when it was close in games one and two, they just looked dead. They looked lost. And then they showed some guts. Give the team credit that they put up a 7 spot in the first and then couldn't score anymore. Well, that's on the bullpen. Cardinals bullpen came through. And they picked together enough hits to put the tying run at the plate a couple of times. One swing of the bat, and this could have been something very different. And just know that every Nationals fan thought that, like, oh no, oh no. But in the end, the Nationals are going to the World Series. And they'll wait for Houston, and they'll wait for New York. But Washington fans, ask yourself, did you really think you were going to see it? Did you really think you were going to see a pennant? And now you have. And it's a wonderful thing. So check us out on the free and easy-to-use Himalaya podcasting app. Check us out on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, all the places you get podcasts. Follow us on Twitter at LockedOnMLB, same handle for Instagram. I'm at Sully Baseball on Twitter and Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. Seeing something that we didn't think we were going to see. This is the Locked On MLB podcast for the 16th day of October 2019. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully.